The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday, everyone. What a crazy day this has been. Oh, my God. I can only imagine what the rest of the world is thinking, looking today at the United States of America, where we have a lame duck president who is making a mockery out of our country. Seriously, everybody knows that this election was valid. Everybody knows that Donald Trump lost. Even Donald Trump knows that Donald Trump lost. The problem is, like with everything else, he won't admit to reality. What's up is down. What's in is out. What's green is blue. It is, you know, I talk about opposite world all the time. I never realized how deep down the rabbit hole this all went.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
So, really, I mean, that doesn't even go far enough. It has been over 2 weeks since this election's results were apparent, and Donald Trump just can't handle the fact that he lost. So instead of handling defeat graciously, as virtually every one of his predecessors has done, he's taking down what's left of the Republican Party and the nation with it. And with him, actually. Most of the legitimate lawyers that he hired to contest the results of the election have withdrawn as each lawsuit has been thrown out of court, and the futility of their quest has become increasingly apparent. As of today, I believe the tally is 30 to 1. That's 30 lawsuit losses to one win, and that one win was overturned. Seriously. So what he's left with is this week. It's just so, you know, this would be a bad dystopian novel. I'm telling you, the story could not get published because it's too outlandish. It could never happen. Wow. Talk about a comedy of errors. So this week, Trump announces that Rudy Giuliani would helm his legal team, a guy who hasn't stepped in a courtroom as an attorney in probably 3 decades. And the recordings of the hearing that he lawyered in yesterday are available online. Now, I didn't listen to much because, honestly, it gets me too stressed out. But I'm sure they provided some humor, probably alternating with tears, for actual lawyers, because he did not have a clue what he was talking about. That was apparent even to this legal layperson. And I start reading, you know, legal briefs and legal ease, and, you know, my eyes roll back in my head. I just, it's another language to me. I could never be a lawyer because I couldn't get through all of the dry legal writing. Well, Rudolph Giuliani, apparently, one is not a member in good standing of the New York bar or the D.C. bar or whatever bar he was arguing in front of, because it was revealed that he's not paid his dues. And apparently he hasn't kept up on his studies. What is essentially, basic legal terminology to any first year law student, Rudolph Giuliani did not know the meanings of the terms, and the judge had to explain to him what he was talking about. It's just embarrassing. Embarrassing. And then today, Giuliani held another press conference. And no, it wasn't at the it wasn't at the Four Seasons landscaping play. I don't know where it was, but he was flanked by the rest of his crack legal team. And by crack, I mean crack, because they were smoking something sinister. So I didn't watch it live. I don't have the patience for it, and I don't have the stomach for it, because frankly, this is all making me really nervous, because Donald Trump, although, you know, on the surface, it's ridiculous and it's funny and it's dangerous. What is happening to our democracy is dangerous, because Donald Trump is single-handedly, with all his lemmings following him, saying, you know what? Screw what your election results say. Screw what all the legal minds say. I am going to dig in here. And again, going back to the opposite world theme, you know how he keeps talking about Joe Biden being stuck in his basement? Well, Joe Biden was in his basement when we were all quarantining. Some of us still are. Hello. And most of us should be. Hello. But Donald Trump's the one hiding out in his bunker. He's the new bunker boy. He's afraid to go out. Right now, there's a coronavirus task force press conference going on, the first one in probably months. And shocker of shockers, Trump's not there. Mike Pence is presiding. Doctors Birx and Fauci are, and Scott Atlas isn't. Maybe they're coming around to realizing what's up and what's down, and that it's not the opposite. So we met Trump's cracked legal team, and the first, I think she was the first to speak. One of the lawyers to speak is a woman named Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell, I have since learned, was Michael Flynn's attorney, now working for Donald Trump. Oh, God. If you look up her history of statements, it's clear that the woman is a bigot, a racist, a pig, basically. And she gets up there. I guess this press conference was held in Washington, D.C., so that answers that question. And, well, let me just... The things she was alleging are astounding. She said that the election was rigged by communist money and a scheme devised by Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, who the last time I checked has been dead for 7 years. I couldn't make this shit up if I tried.
And uncovering more by the day is the massive influence of communist money.
Communist money?
Venezuela,
from
Cuba,
Venezuela.
And likely China.
Okay.
And the interference with our elections here in the United States.
Really?
The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well.
What?
Not just Dominion.
What?
Were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out.
Sorry, it needs
we
a laugh
have
track.
One very strong witness who has explained how it
one
all works.
One witness? Really?
His affidavit is attached to the pleadings of Lynn Wood.
Okay.
In the lawsuit he filed in Georgia.
Really? Yeah.
It is a stunning, detailed affidavit because he was with Hugo Chavez.
What?
While he was being briefed on how it worked. He was with Hugo Chavez when he saw it operate to make
what?
Sure the election came out his way.
Yeah.
That was the express purpose for creating this software.
What the fuck is
he
she talking about?
He has seen it operate, and as soon as he saw the multiple states shut down the voting on the night of the election,
oh my God.
He knew the same thing was happening here, that was what had gone on.
Okay. No. Seriously? What kind of batshit crazy stuff is that? Now, the guy who headed up the cyber counterterrorism unit, you know, that Trump put into place, actually, Chris Krebs, who Trump fired yesterday because he dared to say that there was no fraud in this election. This was actually the most secure election we've ever had. Well, he tweeted out, by the way, his Twitter handle is at C_C_Krebs, K-R-E-B-S. And he wrote, That press conference was the most dangerous 1 hour and 45 minutes of television in American history, and possibly the craziest. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're lucky. I'm sorry I made you unlucky here. But so that happened. I'm not going to play you a whole lot more. Hugo Chavez has been dead since, what, 2013? So this is all just insane. Then there was Jenna Ellis. You remember Jenna Ellis? She's the one who was on Bill Maher's show this Friday night, making a fool of herself, proving that she knows how to spew those false talking points, you know, with the best of them, like McEnany and Sarah Huckabee S and all of them. Well, today's CNN's K-File dug up some of the her old comments, and she used to be one of those people. Well, like Kayleigh McEnany as well. There's a ton of stuff, both audio and old radio interviews, which I honestly didn't waste my time going through them. But there's quotes of her talking about the ignoramus known as Donald Trump, who is too dangerous to be, elected president. So she was one of those before Trump won. Then, like any good Republican and Christian, because, you know, she is, she jumped on the bandwagon. So that happened. I got to play this for you, though. This news conference was so batshit crazy that the Fox Not News correspondent, White House correspondent, went on the air and said this immediately after Rudy's presser wrapped up.
That was certainly a colorful news conference from Rudy Giuliani, but it was light on facts. So much of what he said was simply not true or has already been thrown out in court. And, Giuliani, he opened by making this really bold and baseless claim that a lot of this alleged nationwide voter fraud that he's referring to all came from one centralized place. He called it a nationwide conspiracy. And yet he failed to provide any hard evidence to back up that one specific claim, especially when you're dealing with a claim that really cuts to the core of our democratic process. Now, in Pennsylvania, Giuliani continued to claim widespread voter fraud in Philadelphia, even though he has already said in court, and I quote, "This is not a fraud case." So what he's saying in public, not under oath, is different from what he said in court.
Go figure. So there's Fox calling out the batshit crazy nature of Rudy Giuliani and this mission, which is equally batshit crazy. Nobody believes it's going to happen, but Donald Trump is still trying. And what he's trying to do is what we were warned about in the weeks leading up to the election. And he's doing it in Michigan. So let's talk about what happened in Wayne County, Michigan. Yesterday, we mentioned that on Tuesday, two of the members of the commission that are supposed to, what's the term? This is what happens when I try to do it contemporaneously. I forget the right terminology. Two of they're not commissioners. They're the county certification committee, I guess. The two Democrats and two Republicans on this commission. And on Tuesday night for 3 hours, there was a standoff. Here, Chris Hayes explaining what happened.
Breaking news tonight out of Michigan, where two Republican members of the four-person board of canvassers in Wayne County, Michigan, were tasked with certifying the results of the election, have decided not to do that, citing virtually no evidence, a preposterously bad faith move. Now, Wayne County, of course, the most populous county in the state. It encompasses Detroit. It went for Joe Biden by over 320,000 votes. And the Republican chair of the board, Monica Palmer, says that she would be open to certifying the vote in communities other than Detroit. Interesting. Communities other than Detroit. God. I don't know what she's getting at. The Michigan Republican Party appeared to be prepared for the turn of events, immediately coming out with a statement from the state chair, which reads in part, quote, "I am proud that due to the efforts of the Michigan Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, and the Trump campaign, enough evidence of irregularities and potential voter fraud was uncovered, resulting in the Wayne County Board of Canvassers refusing to certify their election results."
Oh, my God.
Now, this certainly appears to be a flagrant attempt by Republicans to just openly steal an election that Joe Biden won by 148,000 votes statewide in Michigan.
Right. So as this 3-hour-long standoff was unfolding, people were apoplectic, and for good reason, and there was a lot of pushback. And finally, after a 3-hour onslaught of outrage, those two Republicans, Monica Palmer and William Hartman, reversed course, and they certified the votes. Well, now, today, we learn that they want to take back their votes. They want to reverse the reversal. So I guess this happened last night. Both of them signed affidavits alleging they were improperly pressured into certifying the election, and they accused Democrats of reneging on a promise to audit votes in Detroit. The Democrats are saying there was never a promise there. Any audit is not going to overturn the results of the election. We need to move on here. Well, the board's vice chair, a guy named Jonathan Kinloch, who's a Democrat, he said it's too late. Sorry, the certified results have already been sent to the Secretary of State in accordance with state rules. And then we learned that Donald Trump personally called both of them. So Trump calls them after they did the right thing and certified the votes. And he's like, you can't do that. You need to take it back. And all of a sudden they changed their tune. Interesting, isn't it? And now today we learn that Donald Trump has invited some Michigan lawmakers from the Michigan State Legislature to meet with him at the White House tomorrow. And the word is that he's going to continue this shenanigans. He is going to try to get the Michigan legislature to say this election is invalid. We're going to appoint our own electors and have, I think there's 16, I could be wrong, electoral college votes in Michigan, and have the legislature appoint their own, I guess, faithless electors, which I think the Supreme Court just ruled against, but to change the outcome of the election, because Donald Trump is a pig and a thief and a cheater and a liar and a wannabe dictator who will not accept defeat. Unbelievable. But I'm not done yet with this press conference this morning, because Rudy Giuliani also spoke. And when he spoke, I got to tell you, this was playing. It was streaming on Donald Trump's YouTube channel. Well, whoever was running the feed back at headquarters, there were two guys talking, and they didn't realize that they could be heard on the stream. This is only like 20 seconds worth, so listen carefully. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can watch the comments on the YouTube channel as they play. And people were going, "We can hear you. We can hear you." Yeah, I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Here's how it went.
Can they hear us on the stream? I guess not.
I don't think so, but that's kind of cool.
To the point of mathematical impossibility that 186,000 votes come in at once, all for Joe Biden. That's like flipping a coin 186,000 times and it lands on the
See fucking Rudy's hair dye dripping down his face?
Okay, what he just said there, is that Rudy's fucking hair dye dripping down his face? Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it wasn't just on one side of his face. It was on both sides of his face. As we've learned over the last short period of time, Rudolph Giuliani is a profuse perspirer. And here's a headline from some website. It might be Mediaite. Meltdown, ominous black goo drips from Rudy Giuliani's head during press conference. Again, it's a comedy of errors. that in another world might be hysterically funny. But this is just dangerous. I mean, dangerous. There's so much more to it. So, all right, I'm going to a break on Progressive Voices because we need to test to see if the last few days, the going to a break has not worked. So hopefully they're in commercials. And while they're running commercials, let me tell you what a new report from CNN's national security team told us today. An administration official, one of Trump's, you know, loyalists, because that's all who's left there, is alleging that Trump's administration is working actively in ways to make Biden's life more difficult by, quote, setting so many fires that it will be hard for the new administration to put them all out. This is treason. You know, I got a book not too long ago about treason. I think I need to get the author on the show because I believe this is treasonous behavior. Trump's administration is, according to this report from CNN's national security team, further removing troops from Afghanistan and Iraq in the final days of Trump's time as president, contemplating new terrorist designations in Yemen that could complicate efforts to broker peace, rushing through the authorization of a massive arms sale that could alter the balance of power in the Middle East, seriously, planning a last-minute crackdown in China, floating the idea of a last-minute military strike on Iran. We understand that happened just this last Thursday. Building a wall of sanctions that makes it difficult for Biden to rejoin the Iran nuclear deal that Trump killed. And sending Mike Pompeo, yes, the Secretary of State, on the first ever official visit by a Secretary of State to an Israeli settlement. Everything he's doing is frightening. These are the moves of an authoritarian, of a dictator who has no intention of following the will of the people. And then it's going to get worse. It's going to get even worse, because let me see if I can find this that I just found on Twitter, or I think I wrote it down here because it was so astounding. Hold on. I think I put it in my notes. I've got, you know, I don't want to kill trees, so I don't print out my show sheet, which today is 8 pages. Here we go. Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, will not extend most of the Fed's emergency lending program after they expire on December 31st. That means Main Street, the municipal liquidity facility, and the corporate credit facilities will close at year's end. So Joe Biden will be able to get a similar program going, you know, in a non-corrupt fashion as of January 20th, but not until then. This administration is doing its best to sabotage the incoming administration. And by sabotaging the incoming administration, they're sabotaging the nation. They are actively working against the well-being of American citizens. So after the Rudy weird presser, Joe Biden had his own press conference. He didn't make a lot of news. He did say that he's chosen a Treasury secretary that he'll probably announce right around Thanksgiving. So we don't know who it is yet. Guess we'll find out. He was just talking sensibly. Again, you know, I'm not the biggest Joe Biden fan, but I certainly appreciate sanity. And then once Joe Biden finished, then Mike Pence began his White House, his coronavirus task force presser, which I understand neither CNN nor NBC covered. Good for them. Fox apparently is carrying it. And I don't know how long. Although, you know, without Donald Trump there and without Scott Atlas there, maybe they're not. Maybe they're not lying too much. You know, but Mike Pence is saying, you know, we're making great progress on the coronavirus, as they show the charts showing that everything is spiking. This administration is actively killing Americans. Yesterday, we passed the mark 250,000 Americans dead 250,000. Incredible. By the way, I was telling you about the whole thing out of Wayne County, Michigan, and I played for you the Fox News correspondent on the presser, the Rudy presser, and how she said nothing he said is true. Well, here's her report on what happened in Michigan yesterday, and it's equally critical.
Moving on to Michigan, where the Trump campaign dropped its final federal lawsuit just this morning after two Republican canvassers in Wayne County say they now want to rescind their votes to certify the election. Giuliani says they dropped the lawsuit because the state did decertify, but that is not true. The results were certified in Michigan on Tuesday, and Biden won.
Hello.
As for evidence, well, Giuliani kept holding up pages and pages of what he says are sworn affidavits, hundreds of them, people claiming voter fraud and irregularities, but he's declining to show them, to show all of them at least, and listen to his explanation why.
They don't want to be, have their lives torn apart.
I can't give you all these affidavits because if I do, these people will be harassed.
Oh.
They'll be threatened.
Oh.
They may lose their job. We have 100 more of these.
100?
I can't show them to you because those people don't want to be harassed. They don't want to be have their lives torn apart.
Now, up on that stage with Giuliani was a big poster with the headline, Multiple Paths to Victory. But Giuliani never credibly explained a single path, let alone multiple ones. So, Dana, the fact remains that the Trump campaign has yet to provide, at least in court, hard evidence of voter fraud and irregularities widespread enough to overturn the outcome of the election and to effectively challenge President-elect Joe Biden's stance as the president-elect.
Amazing. Again, that was on Fox, not news. Although that's the closest I've heard them come to news in a while. Her name, that correspondent, is Krista Fisher, in case you were wondering. And how did the Fox viewers, Fox Nation, how did they react to that? That this channel is finally telling them the truth? By chanting, Fox News sucks. Because if you say anything that goes against the lies that Donald Trump tells, they don't believe you. Sky is blue. I don't believe you. That's how they roll, as it were. Oh, God. 63 days. 63 days. And honestly, at this point, I'm not confident that he's not going to figure out some way to steal this election. I am worried. I'm also a little worried, here's a segue for you, about what we talked about yesterday with Mike Lux. I know I sounded a bit paranoid, but I feel that way. You know, Joe Biden is talking. He says, by the way, the Treasury Secretary that he's chosen will please every faction of the Democratic Party. So probably not, because frankly, if it's somebody that the Joe Manchin faction of the party is in favor of, it's probably someone that I don't appreciate. And so yesterday I was telling you the last 2 days that there's been these headlines and stories going around about how Joe Biden is echoing what Barack Obama said and did 12 years ago when he said regarding prosecuting George W. Bush for the crimes that he committed and his administration committed. And there were many of them. We tend to whitewash him because Donald Trump is so bad. But the Bush years were horrendous. And George W. Bush committed war crimes. He lied us into war. How many millions of people were killed? So we're going to go back in time a little bit. Keith Olbermann is back. He's doing a YouTube show daily these days. He left ESPN so he could opine on politics on the interwebs. But back 12 years ago, Keith Olbermann was still on MSNBC, and occasionally he gave us a special comment. And what he had to say 12 years ago applies today. And I hope Joe Biden will listen. Take it away, Keith.
But, Mr. President-elect, you are entirely correct. As you say, what we have to focus on is getting things right in the future, as opposed to looking at what we got wrong in the past. And that means prosecuting all those involved in the Bush administration's torture of prisoners, and starting at the top. You're also right that you should not want your first term consumed by what was perceived on the part of Republicans as a partisan witch hunt. But your only other option might be to let this sit and fester indefinitely. Because, Mr. President-elect, someday there will be another Republican president, or even a Democrat just as blind as Mr. Bush to ethics and this country's moral force. And he will look back to what you did about Mr. Bush, or what you did not do. And he will see precedent, or as Cheney saw, he will see how not to get caught next time. Prosecute, Mr. President-elect, and even if you get not one conviction, you will still have accomplished good for generations unborn, because merely by acting, you will deny Mr. Bush what he most wants right now, without prosecutions, without this nation standing up and saying, this was wrong, we will atone. Mr. Bush's version of what happened goes into the historical record of this nation. Torture was legal. It worked. George Bush saved the country. The end. We have tortured people. You and I, Mr. President-elect.
Yep.
This is the people's democracy. We are the people. These were our elected officials. That they did not come to us and ask to act thusly in our names is unfortunate and indeed criminal. But it is almost irrelevant. They worked for us. They tortured people. And so we have tortured people.
Yep.
Thus, beginning tomorrow, it is up to you not just to discontinue this, but to prevent it. At the end of his first year in office, Mr. Lincoln tried to contextualize the Civil War for those who still wanted to compromise with the evils of secession and slavery. The struggle of today, Lincoln wrote, is not altogether for today. It is for a vast future also. Mr. President-elect, you have been handed the beginning of that future. Use it to protect our children and our distant descendants from anything like this ever happening again.
Keith Olbermann. You know what? Every word he said 12 years ago applies today. Somebody play that video for Joe Biden, please. I understand it's not the president's place to tell the Justice Department who to prosecute. But don't send out signals that they shouldn't prosecute the most crooked, criminal, horrendous, evil administration in this nation's history. And I'm including that, the George W. Bush administration, which was pretty fucking evil. I really didn't need to come on and comment after Keith because he said it all. So I guess maybe now we should just mix up some Dirty Debbies and get ready for Howie Klein. Shall we?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm surprisingly well after today. Today has been just another batshit crazy day. Have you watched any of these press conferences today from, Rudy and his cohorts to the coronavirus task force thing that's going on now?
Well, I walked over to put some socks, shoes and socks on, and I put the TV on while I was doing that. And it looked like Rudy's hair dye was running into his mouth.
It was. It was pouring down both cheeks.
I thought that's what it was, and I turned the TV off. It was too horrible.
Right. The whole thing was just embarrassing. And the stuff they were spewing. One of the lawyers that was with him there, apparently there are three now working on these election cases. This woman, Sydney Powell. Apparently, she was Michael Flynn's attorney. She did so well for him that now she's working with Rudy to, try to win back the election for Trump. And she started talking about these voting machines, Dominion, which is an interesting yes. name because Dominionists are a weird sect of Christianity that, you know, that Donald Trump's sycophants subscribe to.
Christianity, because Christianity is like something that's supposed to have something to do with Jesus.
This right.
is like, Dominionism is like sort of like anti-Jesus. It's
gotcha.
More like a satanic thing.
Yeah. Okay. So it makes sense that the company is called Dominion. But apparently, so Donald Trump is saying that Dominion was switching votes, but only in the states that went for Biden. Funny, they use those Dominion machines in a few states that actually went for Trump. Those states, I guess, had no problems. But today, this woman, Sidney Powell, was talking about Dominion and how somebody was in cahoots with Chavez of Venezuela in fixing these machines to fix the votes, even though he died 7 years ago. The whole thing is just batshit crazy. And you know, it's taking over the country. We are not able to transition to a new president yet because this clown car is holding everything up. It's just inconceivable.
It's absolutely amazing, just completely insane. And this is Trump. This is what you get. I mean, you know, I kind of think, like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I think we have to split in two countries.
Yeah.
But they ain't coming back. These crazy people, this is what they are. They're in a death cult. They're ready to die. I did it's coming. It's going to come out, like, in a couple of hours, but I just finished a post. Where I'm looking at the caseload of COVID per capita in each state,
uh-huh.
and how closely it aligns with how many votes Trump got in that state. So virtually all the states with the worst cases of COVID were the Trump states. You know, like North Dakota has the worst case,
mm-hmm.
The worst number of cases per person. They voted 65% for Trump, an increase
wow.
over 2016.
Wow.
And it just goes down the line, you know, South Dakota, Iowa. I mean, it's just ugly, 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 ugly.
You know, North Dakota not only has the highest rates in the country, they have the highest rates in the world, higher than any country on the planet,
right.
North Dakota. And I saw an interview, it was actually on CNN the other night, with a nurse who was talking about in North Dakota, who was saying that these patients come in sick as you can be, dying, still denying it's COVID. That's a hoax. That's a hoax. This is not COVID. Yeah, they're angry. They're angry at her. They're lashing out at her
yes.
as they're dying.
Not angry at Trump.
Yeah, not at Trump.
Not angry at their crazy governor.
Nope. It's opposite world. And I don't know that we can get out of this. Joe Biden said when he was asked a week or so ago if he's going to bring legal action to get the transition rolling, he's like, no, they'll come around to it. I don't think they will. I don't know what he's waiting for. I think he needs to go to court and get this ascertainment signed by this GSA Emily woman and get on with it because lives are going to be lost due to this.
Could be.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, I cut you off and you started saying something.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Howie Klein, the new Down with Tyranny is up. DownWithTyranny.com. No more blog spot in the middle there. It looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked very hard on it. Adam from Adam Christensen from Florida, who
yeah.
ran for Congress,
uh-huh.
he really was the one who made me do it. And I have to say, aside from making me do it, he also did most of the work.
Really? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I hate that he did not win that race. And again, let's just take a second before we get into what we were going to talk about and talk about Florida, who's so completely fucked up everything. And I know during this election cycle, you are not only dealing with candidates like Adam Christensen in Alachua County, but also dealing with the state legislature, which has been in Republican hands for over a decade when there are more registered Democrats in the state. And allegedly there was a plan in the works to, you know, to have Democrats take back some power. It failed horribly. Do we know what happened? Do we know why Florida sucked so badly?
Well, the why is an interesting thing. So, you know, it's very hard to figure out why people do what they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the head of the minority leader of the Senate, their version of Schumer, is a guy from Broward County. What's his name? I'll think of his name in a second.
Okay.
And so in order to win a tie in the Senate, just a tie, which would mean the Republicans would have to share power with the Democrats in the Senate, and that would give the Democrats a chance to have something to say during the new redistricting, you know, drawing the new boundaries.
Right.
So that the Republicans couldn't just gerrymander everything. So all they had to do was win back three seats.
That's right.
So he targeted two.
Yep.
Two. Oh, Gary Farmer is his name.
Oh, okay.
Senator from Broward County, from the Debbie Wasserman Schultz machine. So he, I'm not just meaning to pick on him. I mean, he may be the worst, or he may be the second worst, or the third worst. He's one of the worst, but they're all like that. I mean, the whole leadership is corrupt, and you know, they spent their time going after PPP money, which was illegal. Then they claim they gave it back, and there's no record of them giving it back. And what did they do with the money? And everything that they claimed they were going to do with the money, they didn't do. There was some fancy paperwork to avoid it looking like it was the Florida Democratic Party that was stealing all this money from the taxpayers, but it was the Florida Democratic Party. So it's a party. I went into this race thinking that it was the second worst Democratic Party in the country after Ohio. I'm now convinced it's the it's worse than Ohio,
mm-hmm.
that the Florida Democratic Party is the worst party. So they didn't take back anything. I mean, they were a disaster, and on top of that, they lost two heavily Democratic congressional
districts
in the D+5.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Those are now the strongest Democratic seats in the whole Congress held by Republicans.
Right. And Howie, you know, you mentioned that the Democrats needed to pick up three state Senate seats to tie. They only targeted two. One of them had a weird shadow candidate that nobody can figure out who it is, has the same last name as the Democrat in the race. And when it all came down to it, to the end, the Democrat lost by something like 37 votes. This is with the inclusion of this third candidate who had no party affiliation. No one can figure out where they live. This person doesn't even really exist. There's no record of this person. So now there's allegedly an investigation into who this third candidate was that nobody knows who this person. It's so Florida.
It's a Florida trick that is done constantly. And both parties do it. Both the Democrats and Republicans do this thing. This was a Debbie Wasserman Schultz specialty for years and years and years. She would recruit candidates who had nothing to do with the district, and they would become the Democratic candidate, although they didn't live there, and they didn't campaign, and they didn't raise any money, and they didn't do anything. But by her recruiting them, she was able to keep a real Democrat who was going to campaign off the ballot, so there would be no opposition to her friends, the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just horrible. Horrible.
They decided to make her the head of the DNC, or I should say, Obama decided to make her the head of the DNC.
Yeah, he did.
Really bad mistakes. Biden has already made one as big as that today.
He did. What did he do now?
So earlier today, I wrote, I think this is on Twitter, I don't think it was on my blog, I tweeted that in order for Biden to prove that he's going to be the second worst president in any of our lifetimes, if he wants to just show people that he, you know, you can't be the first worst because no one's going to ever be worse than Trump. Although I'm arguing with a friend of mine who says that Biden will be worse than Trump. I cannot imagine anyone being worse than Trump.
No.
But he's certain Biden will be worse than Trump.
Wow. No, that
I'm saying that Biden will be worse than Reagan.
No.
He'll be worse than Nixon. He'll be worse than any Bush. He will be worse than Ronald Reagan.
Really?
I have nothing good to say about Ronald Reagan, you can imagine.
Right.
But so I wrote, you know, one way he can prove it is by putting his good friend Bruce Reed, the former head of the DLC and the father of American austerity. He's the king of austerity.
Oh,
he was the guy. He was the executive director of Bull Simpson. You remember Bull
yes,
Simpson?
Yes, that's right. I saw this morning. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
he so I did write about it this morning, and he said that I said, what I said was that all Biden would have to do is appoint him to be the head of the OMB.
Yep.
Because the OMB, every single rule, everything that's going to have anything to do with the government goes through OMB. And if OMB says no, it's no.
Right. Office of Management and Budget, is it?
The most
right.
powerful place you could possibly be if you're someone like him. And yes, and Obama and Biden did it. He put him as head of OMB. I can't imagine a worse pick.
Wow. Well, then today, so Biden.
Good idea. And what I said it would do, and what I say it would do, what we should do, is let every progressive who held their nose or didn't hold their nose, many didn't, many of them thought they were doing a great thing, and voted for Biden, let them know that Biden is laughing at you and giving you the finger.
Yeah. I hate hearing that. And today, he announced that he's chosen his Treasury Secretary.
About this, but
yeah.
Do you know how the Bernie rumor about being the labor secretary started?
How?
Biden told Bernie that he would make him labor secretary.
He did?
Yeah. He lied to him.
Oh, my God. I'm sure if you're saying this, you know for a fact that happened.
I got it from a very, very, very good source.
Wow. Wow. That's just more than disappointing.
I have, how many times, I mean, look, we've talked about this for over a year. I don't want to, get into, we can talk about I told you so for the rest of, forever, but there will be a time when I will bring up I told you so.
Yeah.
As you know, I did not vote for Biden and never even considered it for one second.
Right.
I know who Joe Biden is.
But who would you have voted for? I mean, given the choices we had.
I voted. Do you think I didn't vote?
Who did you vote for?
I voted for, I don't know. I don't even know his name. I voted for the Peace Party.
Again, Howie Klein is in California where, California was going to go for Joe Biden. There was never a question about that. I understand. I also understand that.
When we have the Joe Biden depression, when we have. When Biden destroys the Democratic Party, what's it going to take?
But Trump has already done all this. Trump has.
You know what? When you say that you wouldn't have voted for Biden even if you lived in a swing state, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah, well, but no, I probably would have, though, because it was a vote to remove Donald Trump from office.
No, but I like to think that I have that I wouldn't have. I want to think that I wouldn't have voted for Biden if I lived in Iowa or Ohio, or I wouldn't have voted for Biden anywhere.
But,
I like to think that. But there's no way for me to know.
Right.
How am I going to ever
know? You don't know.
No.
You don't know. But here's the question to ask yourself. Would you be okay with another 4 years of Donald Trump? Do you think this country could have survived?
No. Of course not. You know the answer to that.
Right.
The answer is no.
Right. And so the not Trump.
I'm okay with Joe Biden being the president? Of course I'm not.
No, but again, it's the lesser of two evils. And years ago, Howie Klein, you told me I will never again vote for the lesser of two evils. I understand that. I could not do anything if I didn't feel like I did everything within my power to make sure Donald Trump is sent packing out of the White House on January 20th. I couldn't live with myself because as bad as I believe Joe Biden probably will be, I'm still hoping that his inner FDR comes out and surprises everybody. But he's not going to be as bad as Trump. Look, we're already headed for a depression. That's not, frankly, Joe Biden's fault. He was handed that by Donald Trump, who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
He could do something about it and stop it. He's not going to. He's doing the opposite. He just put the head of the king of austerity in to a place where nothing can happen.
Well,
without this guy giving the thumbs up.
Yeah.
So he's giving veto power to the person who will absolutely guarantee, no matter what anybody tries to do, this guy will guarantee a depression and a bad one.
So who is this guy again? Reed? What? Where did he come from? What was he doing?
Reed, like I said, he was the head of the DLC.
Okay.
Close friend of Joe Lieberman.
Ugh.
He was appointed to be the executive director by Clinton. No, by Obama, to be the executive director of Bowles Simpson. That's how you know him.
Right, Bowles Simpson. Right. Oh, God. Well, now we hear that Biden announced in his presser today that he has chosen his Treasury Secretary. And he says this is somebody that all factions of the party are going to be happy with. And my thought was
Warren, everybody loves her.
Right, right. Yeah. If Joe Manchin is happy with this Treasury Secretary, I have a feeling I'm not going to be.
Oh, it's a surprise. He announced that he has the person, but doesn't say who it's going to be yet.
Right. No, he'll tell us around Thanksgiving, so we have about a week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And you're going to love this one. I had read earlier in the week that, you know, what I thought was good news, that Biden and Rahm Emanuel are like oil and water, that they do not get along. Now I see that Emanuel's being considered for transportation secretary.
Well, we don't really know if he's being considered. We know that he is pushing himself and getting his name out in the press. He may be considered. He may already have been chosen for.
Maybe
he's going to be announced the day after Thanksgiving. But the thing is that what we do know is that he is heavily pushing himself for that position.
Right. And here's the prime example of why this is, you know, Biden, I think, is choosing poorly, because one of the people under consideration for a spot in his administration is Cherry Bustos, who was the outgoing chair of the DCCC, who lost seats in the House when we should have gotten a much larger majority, and almost lost her own seat. And for that, she's being considered for a role in the administration. There's something wrong there.
Yes. And so they had leadership elections today. It was very pro forma. They didn't pick any of the they only picked one. There was only one race that was a contested race that would have had some importance. They didn't do the D trip yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it is, so I don't think they picked it. So one race. So it was for the sixth most powerful person among the House Democrats, the assistant head. So Robin Kelly, who's kind of a establishment liberal from Chicago, but she is kind of a liberal. And then there's a guy named
David Cicilline, right?
No, that
was a different race. Okay. Who was she running
that
against?
One had two progressives running against each other. So you can't
gotcha.
Lose.
Okay, good. I didn't know the woman who won. That's why obviously I got her name wrong.
Kathleen
Clark from Massachusetts, right? So she's okay.
She's good. Cicilline tends to get a little bit more progressive sometimes. Mm-hmm. She's a progressive too. They both have like stellar voting records. She's a little more of the establishment person. He's a little bit more. He's establishment too, but I know him a little bit personally, and he can get pretty wild.
Yeah, I like him.
I know that's always, underneath the attempt to just come out like a normal congressman. I know he's much better than that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so that race, I'm not counting. It's an important race, but I'm not counting. But the seat that she gave up as assistant caucus chair, that was the opening where there was Robin Kelly running, an African-American kind of establishment liberal. And the other one is Pete Aguilar. So Pete Aguilar is something else. He is he's a New Dem. He's conservative. His political career is completely, entirely, 100% built on corruption. He's one of the most corrupt members of Congress, and he's a coke freak.
Oh God!
I have a picture on the top of my blog right now of him, partying, giving the finger to the camera, holding a glass.
Oh, that's who that is.
Mind on coke.
Okay, that's who that is. I saw the picture at top of the post, your most recent, the newest post.
He beat Robin.
Unbelievable.
And he beat her by 100 votes.
Wow.
I mean, it was a landslide. That's who the House Democrats are on a suicide mission. That's it. They're on a suicide mission. I don't think there's anything we can do to stop it. And if AOC was smart, she is smart, but I would recommend that she get another party going. The Democratic Party is killing itself.
Horrible. But, I can't believe the stuff they're doing.
There aren't words to describe how this guy is a fucking moron. I'm sorry for the language.
That's fine.
The guy is a moron, a coke fiend. He's not someone who like snorts a little coke every now and then. This is a coke fiend.
Wow. So it's bad enough in my book that the House Democrats, again, are going for another term with Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Jim Clyburn in the 1-2-3 positions. Jim Clyburn on TV last week proclaimed, "We are the future of the Democratic Party. Give me a fucking break."
Come on, man.
Yeah, right?
He's laughing when he says that.
No, he wasn't. He was deadly serious. And he, while he says he's a progressive, you know, this is the kind of shit. I'm sorry. We got beaten the only reason Joe Biden won is because so many people voted against Donald Trump. What happened in the House and the Senate should have been a clarion wake up call. And the Democrats are going, "We did great." Nancy Pelosi saying, "We won." Well, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I don't know where we go from here, because now we're looking at 2022, and in a new president's, the first midterm after a new president is elected, his party usually takes a beating. I have no reason to believe it.
Often.
Well, I mean, often.
There have been opposite cases where it could happen. But I spoke with virtually every progressive leader in Congress. Virtually every one of them. Not every one of them, but I spoke to 11 of them.
Okay.
And I asked 11 of them to please run for DCCC chair. And, you know, some of them would say, like, "Hey, you know, I feel I should, but I can't because of my kids, because it's a full-time job. And, you know, it means I'll never see my family. My wife will kill me if I do it." You know, so I had that kind of thing. Another guy literally said to me, "I really want that job. I would really like to do it. The two people who are running both suck shit." And sorry for the language. But next year is going to be a really bad year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be one who's tarred with that really bad year. I said, "Wait a second. We could turn the really bad year into a really good year. You can do that. They can't do that. You can do it." And he said he would think about it, and then he decided not to do it.
So do we have any idea who's going to run?
Yeah, it's Tony Cardenas, who is most famous for raping an underage girl recently and getting off the hook.
Oh,
and
God.
Then Sean Patrick Maloney, who makes his fundraising calls from the office of a hedge fund. Those are the two. They're both New Dems. They're both conservative. Cardenas is very corrupt. The other one is corrupt too, but not, you know, sort of a institutionally corrupt, not as corrupt, but also much too corrupt to be in Congress, much too corrupt to be anywhere but in prison, but not as corrupt. So they're both terrible. They're both horrible, absolutely horrible. I mean, you could put a big sack of dog shit in a chair and say that's the chairman of the DCCC, and it would be better than either one of those or both of them combined.
Oh my God. Oh shit. I will say it's still better than
the DCCC. They couldn't pick someone better for themselves than Tony Cardenas or Sean Patrick Maloney. And I'm being told that Sean Patrick Maloney is going to be the one.
Well, he's got better name recognition because I know who he is. It's horrible. It's awful. It's terrible. The Democratic Party is a caricature of what it should be. Really is. And you're right. I've heard talk that inside the Democrat inside the Progressive Caucus, there's talk of, you know, like a new, you know, sub caucus being formed, which I hope that's true, because somebody needs to step up and take power. And right now it looks like, you know, it's AOC, it's Katie Porter, it's the young energy, the people who've captured the imagination of the nation, frankly, not the dinosaurs who are controlling the party now.
Not yet. Well, Pramila has promised that now that her co-chair is leaving, that, you know, I think she has prevailed upon AOC to give her a chance to show that she's going to make the progressive caucus into something worthwhile. I don't. No one told me that, but that's what I think.
Okay. Well, I guess we wait and see. Anyways, how we spent the whole half hour talking about this. The piece we were talking about, the latest, newest post right now up at downwithtyranny.com is the one with the photo of Pete Aguilar giving the finger and looking, I don't know, whacked out on something. The headline reads, "There's no reason to believe another 2010 size disaster will get the DCCC to rethink its errors."
Email.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Email from a friend in Congress who said, no, that the DCCC election is going to be after the hearing.
Oh, after the hearing. Okay. All right. So we wait and see. And hope for
just
the best.
Just favor Pete Aguilar, the turkey of the year.
Oh, God. Howie Klein. All right. Check out the new site, downwithtyranny.com. And through downwithtyranny.com, you can get to the new Blue America PAC site. So it's all there. Go check it out. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Hi, Nicole. Sorry.
What are you sorry about? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it's come to this. Fuck. Well, at least, hopefully, we get Donald Trump out of there. I think that's our number one priority right now. Get out, Trump! All right, see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.